Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special episode of the Careering into Motherhood podcast. My name is Nicole Rousey, and today we have a role reversal where I, a women's fitness trainer and passionate advocate for women's wellness, will be taking over the mic to interview our usual host, Jane Johnson, who is gearing up to participate in the London Marathon at the end of April. Jane, it's fantastic to have this opportunity to chat with you today, and thanks for handing over the mic.
Thank you. It does feel a little bit strange. I'm used to putting other people on the spot, not being put on the spot myself. But I'm really looking forward to talking to you. It's a subject very, very close to my heart at the moment.
So considering all that you have on your plate, being a working mother who is running her own business, what inspired you to take on this challenge of running the London Marathon?
So one of the reasons is that I am turning 50 this year in April, and I had been gradually getting back into more and more fitness, and I do like a challenge. So I thought I'm very good if I have something to aim for. So I thought it would be an idea to do something with this 50th year. The other reason I keep telling people is that at the moment my son is getting so much maths homework and it's just hideous. And so the idea of being able to leave him with his dad to go and do it on a Saturday morning because I have to run out training for a couple of hours was not an incentive, let's say.
I think that can be the same for a lot of working mothers too, just being able to take some time for yourself, you know, personal self-care. It's very easy to skip the workout and kind of prioritize others' well-beings before our own.
Yeah, definitely. And I've been doing exactly that, I feel, for quite a number of years. And I think certainly during the pandemic, with homeschooling and running the business and everything else, doing anything like finding the time for exercise. I kept telling everyone, I just don't have time. And something similar happened about 7 years ago. And I ended up in hospital with a kidney infection because all I was doing was literally at the time getting up, doing the nursery run, coming back, sitting at my kitchen table, doing work, going to pick him up, doing bedtime, and then just kind of collapsing. And I think my body was like, hang on. And so I got back into I got into fitness.
Yeah, I just think it's so important to remember that, you know, taking care of yourself is taking care of your family. You know, a happy, healthy family starts with you.
It's true. And I personally, you know, I find running really therapeutic. I think through loads of things. I should also say, being the huge advocate for coaching that I am, I could not do this without running coaching. So I actually have the Nike Run Club app, bit of a plug for them. It's amazing. It's a free app. Anyone can download it and use it. And it starts from, you know, somebody who's never run before. You can do your first kilometer with them. You can do their version of Couch to 5K, or you can go further. I'm really hoping that on the day of the marathon, my earphone batteries or my phone battery doesn't die, because I've become so dependent upon it. And the miles or the kilometers do kind of go by. They give you lots of different things to work on, lots of different things to think about. There's a Headspace one where you can do some kind of mindfulness stuff while you're running. So yeah, it's definitely a time that I carve out for myself. And at the moment, it doesn't feel like a huge chore. That may well change as, you know, the miles get longer, but it feels almost quite a selfish thing to be doing, actually.
And I think that's just so true, whether it's, you know, running a marathon or exercising, just taking that time to do whatever it is that you actually love doing.
Yeah, I know it can be sounding a bit like a cliche, but it's the truth. Now, when I'm at the point where if I haven't run for a couple of days, because I put this pressure on myself to keep going with it, everyone in the family can tell that I just need to go out for a run. I find it, you know, clears my head. And I should say, you know, I think we started off before the recording of this talking about, I genuinely think that, you know, motherhood is the hardest marathon I have ever run. And so, you know, huge kudos to anyone who is a mother and also finds time for fitness, well-being, meditation, yoga, whatever it might be, because carving out that time is really hard, but it's so important.
You know, I think there is this myth when it comes to working out or fitness that consistency is key, but really I think it's just about redefining what consistency means to you based on what you need, not what you should do. And that might be different from the ways, you know, that you've done in the past. So I think the myth about consistency isn't about, you know, doing what you think you should do. It's accepting where you are kind of in your journey and just find something that you can do that gets you moving. And that's enough.
That's really good point. Really good point. And it can be, you know, it's so easy. We look on social media or even look at other people we know and kind of go, oh my God, they've got time to do X and Y. And almost for a while, actually, I would almost say it was like a self-sabotage thing that I just kept telling myself I didn't have time to do anything. And then gradually kind of started just once a week doing some basic training and just always felt so much better after doing it. And again, I know it sounds like a cliche, but it was true for me. I think it doesn't matter what you do. Motivation, it goes in ebbs and flows, doesn't it? So how do you keep that motivation going, either for yourself or for your clients?
Yeah, I think the top thing I always discuss with my clients is you need to start with belief in yourself. You know, being a working mother is mentally and physically demanding in itself. So I think it's really important to consider your internal dialogue and how you treat yourself. You know, cultivating a compassionate internal dialogue is so important. Your words have power. So I think the people that have the best success when starting a new fitness program or a fitness journey is just to begin without a fear of internal judgment and understand that being healthy goes beyond aesthetics, tend to find the greatest success. I also think just a simple plan, and I want to emphasize keeping it simple. You know, we all have so much to do in our lives. Just again, finding something that gets you moving, that you enjoy doing, and then go for it. It's much easier to be motivated to do something that you enjoy.
Yes. Yeah. And finding something that is simple. And I know talking about the marathon, I sort of said, oh, I decided I was just going to run it, but it wasn't just waking up one morning thinking, oh, I'm going to sign up for the marathon. I'd started very, very simply just dog walking, which didn't even feel like exercise, but I always felt so much better when I came back, or training, or even going for a walk around the park with friends, whatever it is. It's something where you're not mum, you're not employee, you're exactly. not aunt, cousin, sister, whatever. You're just you. And that's the kind of carving out of time that is really the important thing, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's just, I just want to highlight again, you know, that importance of taking care of yourself so that you're not pouring from an empty cup. You go out and you have that walk with your dog and you just feel like you can tackle the rest of the day.
Definitely. And it's also picking the times when you can do it. It's not, you know, always for me, first thing in the mornings, it's, and I'm sure most working moms, it's chaos. It's pandemonium. We're all trying to get out the door or get dressed and find bags and God knows what else. So, you know, that's something I'm still working on, being able to find the right time. But often, you know, there never really is the perfect time. You just take the time that you can find.
Yeah. How far have you run to date? Have you completed a full marathon in your training?
In this training? No. And I mean, I should say I have run a couple of marathons before, but my last one was 14 years ago. I've never done London. So again, I'm not here to say, oh God, anyone can run a marathon and you know, all it takes is a couple of months training. I do think a lot of people can run a marathon if you like running. It's that Forrest Gump thing. I just put one foot in front of the other and just keep going. This time, the furthest I've done so far is 20 kilometers, which is not even halfway yet, but I'm following a plan.
Yeah. So finding time, you know, motivation, these have been some of the hardest parts of your marathon training journey. Tell me about what has been the best part for you.
the best part has genuinely been kind of falling back in love with running. I used to love it because I'm not very good at routine or, you know, putting something in the diary and making that happen every single week. And I, what I love about running is you literally just need a pair of trainers and you can go. It's always there for you whenever you want. If you're feeling good, you're feeling bad, you can do it. And genuinely, the other highlight has been having this sort of coaching, as I say, and it's free. You know, they have this guy, Coach Bennett, who does most of the training runs. And he always talks about, you know, starting slow and sometimes how you're not always feeling it. And I used to leave so many runs because I'd start, I'd feel like I couldn't breathe properly. I felt it was all clunky, nothing was moving. And I'd set out to, you know, whether it was 2K, 5K, whatever, and I'd set out and it didn't feel right. And I'd just turn around and come back and kind of go, yeah, no, I can't run anymore. But actually having this coaching has massively helped. And as you know, I'm a huge exponent of coaching for so many things that we do in our lives. And so it's been really reaffirming to have had this marathon running coaching.
And, you know, it's crazy because even though it is, you know, online service where you're not connected directly to a coach, if I'm right, you know, just having that accountability partner in your ear to keep you going is just so important.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. He always talks about start lines and finish lines. And the finish line is really just an opportunity to get across the next start line and so on. Yeah. And I have a plan. Again, it's through the Nike Running app, but it's not so rigid that you have to show up every Monday and every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. You work it around your own schedule.
That sounds absolutely amazing. So last question I have for you today, Jane, you're aiming to raise 2,200 pounds to participate. Could you tell us a little bit more about the children's charity you're supporting?
Yeah, definitely. And you asked me at the start, you know, why was I doing this? And I think it was this thing that I was going to be 50. I feel so fortunate. There's always stuff that I like to do and want to do and so on, but genuinely strip everything back, I feel incredibly fortunate. And so there's nothing I kind of needed, or so I thought, well, why not try and do something positive with this kind of age milestone and raise some money for the NSPCC, which is the National Society for Protection Against Cruelty to Children. And I feel quite emotional, but I find it really hard to believe that in this day and age, children in the UK even are still struggling with neglect and abuse. So yes, by running for the NSPCC, I'm aiming, along with the other teammates, we're aiming to raise awareness for the brilliant work that the NSPCC does. And yeah, we have to raise £2,200, which feels a bit daunting, but with the brilliant Careering into Motherhood community that we have, and hopefully with listeners to this podcast, if I keep saying, if everyone gave a pound or whatever they can, then we would absolutely smash that target. And last year, the NSPCC was contacted by around 60,000 people who raised a flag about a child who they felt was in danger of abuse or neglect. It's absolutely shocking, but the NSPCC does such great work that I really hope we can all get behind them and help me smash this target. I'd certainly get over that finish line with a spring in my step if I could meet that target.
Definitely. And what such an incredible idea as a birthday gift. So for our listeners who are inspired by your journey and want to support the charity, you can find a link to Jane's donation page in the show notes. And like you said, our Careering into Motherhood community is over 11,000 women strong. So if you are able to donate even just a pound, less than a cup of coffee, Jane should be well on her way to reaching her goal and running the race.
Thank you. Yeah, I know times are tough, but hopefully with all the free resources and things that we give, I like to say if anyone has ever sort of taken any motivation or any value from the support that we offer in the community or all of the free resources. We have loads and loads of free coaching resources on the website. We even have free webinars, free downloadable sessions. In exchange, I'd be hugely grateful if you were able to contribute to the NSPCC. As Nicole says, we'll, show notes will include a link and we'll put it out on social media as well.
Thank you, Jane. It's been absolutely incredible to chat with you today. Hearing about your story and your dedication to your training, both to the marathon and really just to the Career Into Motherhood community. So thank you for sharing your experiences with us today.
Thanks very much, Nicole. Thank you. It's been great talking to you.